Let's pray for Andrew. Father, we lift Andrew up to you. We lift the ministry up that you have placed him in. And Father, I would pray for a harvest of souls. Andrew is doing this to win souls for your kingdom. Father, I pray that you would meet his needs, that you would give him knowledge and wisdom, and that, Lord, Andrew and his team would push back the darkness and shine the light of Jesus wherever they go, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, good morning. Luke chapter 5. We're in Luke chapter 5. We're starting a new series, Let It Happen. Okay, the title is Let It Happen. If you remember, how many people were here when we did worship in the round? The whole worship team. We've had some abnormal services lately, haven't we? But anyway, the worship team set up down here and we gathered around them. And at the end of the service, everybody came up. I had them come up and gather around the worship team and everyone was worshiping. And I was standing right here and I heard loud and clear, the Lord said, let it happen. Let it happen. Let the will of God happen. And so we're going to have this series between now and Easter, and I can't tell you how long it's going to go for because I'm making this up as I go, all right? I'm listening to the Lord saying, what do you want me to do? So today we are in Luke chapter 5, all right? And last week, Jeff Grinnell, if you were here, he said, do you really know him? Do you know Jesus or do you know about him? So we're going to read the first 11 verses of Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at Peter. Peter knew about Jesus. He had been told who he was. His brother Andrew told him, hey, I think I found the Messiah. But now he's really going to get to meet Jesus, and there's going to be miraculous proof of what goes on. And I want you to think about the title, Let It Happen, because Peter's reaction amazes me. And we're going to find it. It's all over in Scripture, so I'm going to begin. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and they filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and they followed him. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would come, that you would enlighten us this morning, that you would guide us into all truth, and that you would bring us to a place where we're willing to let it happen. That, Lord, we will allow your will in our lives to work. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're following in your outline, your first point, when Jesus wants to use your possessions, let it happen. It's interesting to me. You know, Jesus sees two boats, he jumps in one, and Peter doesn't go, what are you doing in my boat? He allows it to happen. I think about all the people and all the work they do here at church, and they come and they say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. They bring their equipment, they buy things for the church, they put them in. If God wants to use your possessions, let it happen. Peter lets it happen. Jesus puts out a little way from the shore. The crowd was gathering around him. He uses the water to project his voice onto the shore, and the people listen to him, you see. The next point, When God tells you where to fish, let it happen. Our minds, was that God or wasn't that God? I don't know about you, I'm willing to take a chance. I was fishing with a guy one day, and we were ice fishing, and we were fishing. Nobody was catching any fish. Everybody's in the same depth of water. And he looks at me, and he says to me, Pastor Dave, it seems to me like God's telling me to go out into this deep water. And he said, it doesn't make any sense to me, and we might not catch anything, but it seems like he's saying go out there. And I said, well, we're not catching anything here. Let me think this over. Let's go. And we went out into the deep water, and he drilled one hole, and he dropped down his lure, and he jigged it a couple times, and he had the biggest fish on there. And I think that let me know he heard from God. What do you think? If God tells you where to fish, listen to him. Do it. I'll never forget it. He said to me, he said, you probably want to drill a hole a little ways away from me. This is going to take a while to get this guy up here. You see, when God says to you, go here, he says to Peter, put out in the deep water. You know, I can't confirm all this. I never fished this lake before, but I've always been told they fish up close to the shore. And Jesus says, put out in the deep water and let down your nets. Peter says, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything. Also, I think he was thinking, man, this guy doesn't know anything about fishing. But then we see what happens. He was willing to let it happen. Are you willing to let the will of God happen in your life, even if it doesn't make sense sometimes? Now, your next point, turn to somebody and say, caution. We should put a caution on this. See, the presence of God confirmed by a miracle may cause an undone feeling. See, the presence of God, think this through. Peter is in a boat with the holy, almighty Son of God. At this point, Peter's thinking, he's telling us to let our nets down. It doesn't make sense. Is this guy really God? Who is this guy? His brothers already told him, I think we found the Messiah. And then the great catch of fish. And it kind of confirmed it, didn't it? There's something special about this guy in my boat. But it causes an undone feeling. And this morning, the major point I want you to take home is in Peter's reaction, you see. You take a guy out fishing or a guy takes you out fishing and you fill your boat and you fill your partner's boat, I think I'd hang on to that guy. What do you think? But it causes an undone feeling. In Isaiah, all right, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, you see, it says that Isaiah saw God's glory. It saw his train filling the temple. And then this is his reaction, all right? In Isaiah 6, verse 5, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Woe is me. It causes an undone feeling. When you come to church, if the presence of God is here, you're not always going to feel really comfortable. Because God's will may want to do something in your life today. How do you react? What do you do? Look at your next point. Peter confessed his sin and asked Jesus to depart. It just strikes me at this place, like, wait a minute. You're there with God. You're with Jesus. He just worked an awesome miracle, man. Your bank account's going to be filled because he filled your boat with fish. You are a fisherman. Hang on to this guy. And he falls at his knees and he says, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You should leave me. My question this morning, church, is why don't we want to let it happen? We all react this way. We get into the presence of a holy God and we recognize our sin because of his holiness. And then we go, oh, you better get away from me, Lord. It's my prayer this morning that I can convince you to say, Lord, I want to let it happen. Like I said, it's all over in Scripture, Exodus, and there's a typo, which is my fault, all right, in your bulletin, but it's actually Exodus chapter 4 and verse 13. Moses, all right, Moses meets God at the burning bush. He sees a bush that's burning and it's not consumed, and he comes up to it and the bush talks to him. It says, take off your shoes, Moses. You're walking on holy ground. And he takes off his shoes and he has a conversation with God. God says, Moses, I'm going to use you to deliver my people out of Egypt. And Moses says, who should I say sent me? And he says, tell them I am who am, has sent you. What if they don't believe me? He says, what's that in your hand? He says, that's my staff. Throw it on the ground. He throws it on the ground. It turns into a snake. He says, grab the serpent by the tail. He grabs him by the tail. It turns into a staff. If they don't believe you, do that. He says, even if they, then, what if they don't believe me? He said, take your hand and put it into your coat. Put it into your bosom. He does it. He takes it out. It's white. It's leprous. Moses, he said, put it back in. He puts it back in. It comes out clean and healthy. They don't believe the first sign. Show them the second sign. Now listen to Moses' reaction. Chapter 4 of Exodus, verse 13. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. What do we do, church, in the presence of God, in the holiness of God, right next to him, watching a miracle happen, a burning bush, watching the rod turn into a serpent, watching your hand be leprous and then not leprous. And he says, Lord, send somebody else. The reaction just amazes me. Mark chapter 5, all right, verses 16 and 17. Jesus and his disciples cross the Sea of Galilee. They go over by the Gentiles, you see, to the Decapolis. He gets on shore, and there is a possessed man. It says he lived in the tombs. He was naked all the time. He screamed at night. How many people have ever heard a coyote scream at night? You hear it and it kind of makes your skin crawl, doesn't it sometimes? Well, this wasn't a coyote. This was a man shrieking in the tombs, demon-possessed. It says they would catch him and they would bind him in fetters and chains. And it said he would break the chains and he would smash the fetters. This guy was quite a piece of work. And when Jesus comes off the boat, he comes up and he runs up to Jesus and he falls down on his knees. And he said, Lord, have you come to torture us? That's what the demons are saying. He said, what's your name? They said, we are legion. There are many, there are hundreds, thousands of demons. And they said, please don't send us out of this area. They said, let us go into the pigs. And Jesus preached a big sermon to them. He said, go. And they left the man. They went into the pigs. They ran down into the Sea of Galilee and they drowned. Now, I don't know what you guys would do with somebody like that, you know. If it wasn't safe for you to go out here on 120 and go to Lake Geneva because this nut was living somewhere, and then Jesus came along, and this is what it says in verse 16. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened, and the demon-possessed man to the demon-possessed man, and they told about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Wait a minute. He just set this nut free. It says he was in his right mind and he was fully clothed. And they saw him sitting there and they said, leave us, Lord. How do you react when God wants to work in your life? You see, I'm afraid we react too much like Peter. Peter fell on his knees. He said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, leave me. Depart from me, Lord. You shouldn't be by me. Again, this morning, I want to change how we look at this. Look at your next point. The sin in Peter did not want to let it happen. We need to ask a question. Why aren't our churches full in Walworth County? You know why? Because the world doesn't want to let it happen. We kind of like our sins sometimes, don't we? Huh? Or we go like this, we say, I just don't like change. You know what? When we take our last breath here and take our next breath in heaven or hell, it's going to be a big change. And it's the sin in Peter that did not want to let it happen. Depart from me, Lord. The people in the city said, leave us. And this morning I want to say to you, let's let it happen. Allow the will of God to take over. Look at your next point. Jesus came to set people free from sin. You know, Peter's on his knees, and Peter says, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. And Jesus had to be thinking, I know, Peter, that's why I came. I came to set you free. But this reaction that we have, Lord, Lord, get away from me, I'm so bad. We should be grabbing a hold of him saying, wait a minute, Lord, you're exactly what I need. You can set me free. But the world out there is going, no, if I go near this guy, he's going to change me. He might clean up my life. You know what, church? We should let it happen. We should let it happen. Look at your next point. Are you willing to let it happen? Are you willing to let it happen? You know what it's like for me? When God starts to work in my life, I feel like I'm in a cattle chute. I know a lot about cattle chutes. It always puzzled me. All I wanted to do was load up that load of cattle. All I wanted to do was load up those young cows, put them in the trailer, and take them to the most beautiful green pasture you have ever seen. And I talked to him and I'd say, come on, you knuckleheads, walk in the trailer. I am going to turn you loose in these beautiful, verdant, green pastures. And they fight you. They will run you over. They will hurt you if you're not careful. Are you willing to let it happen? And you know, when you won't let it happen, you know what they do? They bounce against the sides of those cattle chutes and it keeps squeezing them tighter and tighter. And when they try to back up, there's a farmer back there with a cattle prod. Peter's in the chute today. He's on the boat. He says, no, Lord, depart from me. And God is saying, no, 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 Peter. I came to set you free. You know what the world needs to know out there today, church? That Jesus came to set them free. Don't run from him. Let it happen. Draw close to him. Pull yourself in tight. Look at verse 10. Jesus said to Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Look at your next point. Jesus wants us to follow him and to fish for souls in the sea of sinners. Do you know he wants you to fish for souls in the sea of sinners? So I'm going to tell you a story, all right? I hope you don't think less of me for telling you this, but my son and I, we like to listen to country music. And so when we've been putting our garage doors in later, there's these two brothers, the brothers Osborne. I love their song, "It Ain't My Fault." It sounds like every Christian when our sin is revealed. And so he said, "Dad, they're going to be in Milwaukee. You want to go see them?" And I thought it through for a minute, and I thought, yeah, let's go. So he came to my house to pick me up, you know, and we were going to get something to eat. And I said, "You know what? Why don't we just eat here? I mean, it's a lot cheaper. I got good food. We'll eat here, and then we'll go to the concert." And he looked at me, and it was the funniest thing. He just said, "You know what, Dad?" He said, "I brought some money along, and I think we should go up. There's a bunch of good places to eat right close to there, and let's go out to eat, and then we'll go walk over to the concert." And I'm like, "I guess I'll just let it happen." So I went along with him, see, and we go to this place, you know, and it's packed. Do you know when people have good food that the place is packed? And so we walk into this place, and there's a wait, you know, to get a table to sit. And, you know, they give you those little things that vibrate when it's time for you to go to your table. And so they gave him one of those, and we're just packed in this place. And we're sitting right here, and the bar is right here. And a lady at the bar starts talking to us. Now, I always change people's names to protect the guilty, all right? So we're just going to call her Eve today because she's a daughter of Eve, okay? And she starts talking to me, and we're answering, and we're trying to be polite, and obviously she was sitting up at the bar, and she was feeling pretty good. And she's talking to us, you know, off and on, and then the two people right next to her got up and moved away. Isn't that interesting? And my son said to the lady, she said, "Hey, can we just sit here and order and eat?" And you know, the waitress like, "Oh, yes, man, we got another table now we can give away." And so we sat down right there, and she kept right on talking to me. See, I'm sitting right next to her. And then came the question. She said to me, "What do you do?" And I gave her a chance. In all honesty, I gave her a chance. I said, "Are you really sure you want to know?" And my son's looking at me, and he's just going like this. Here we go, man. Here we go. And she said, "Yeah, I want to know. What do you do?" And I said, "I'm a pastor." Now, don't forget the scripture we're studying today. Peter said, "Lord, depart from me." And she looked at me, and these are the words she said, and I wrote them down. She said, "You are probably condemning me to hell in your mind right now." See the reaction, church? And my answer to her was, "No. I was actually thinking about talking you into going the other way. Because I said there's an alternative to hell, and it's called heaven." And I'm telling you, in the next 10 minutes, I found out her life story, man. I found out all about her family. We talked. I told her where I was at. I told her, "If she comes to Lake Geneva, please come and visit our church." And then this is what she said. She told me she was a creaster. She goes twice a year. I love how honest people are. You get the Holy Ghost involved, and it's like truth serum. And then she was going to say to me, "I'm too far gone." You know, I know what people are going to say, and I know that's what she was going to say. And she said, "I'm too," and she stopped. I love this, church. Listen, she stopped and she said, "No one is too far for Jesus." And I said, "That's right." But again, church, I want you to look at the text. Peter, in the presence of Almighty God, in the holiness of God. And it's the exact same reaction that the world has when Jesus comes into their presence. Now, folks, Jesus is in you, and Jesus is in me. And if you believe in him, when you walk into a place, his presence goes with you. You know, she told us she was having trouble in a couple areas of her life, and she said, "Look at this. God brought my dad in here to counsel you tonight." When we left that place, I gave her my email address. I said, if you email me, I said, I forgot to tell you, everything you said can and will be used in a sermon. And then she said, how will I know? And I said, email me and I'll email you back. And I emailed her back yesterday morning. And I said, if you listen in, mtzn.com. I said, I'm going to talk about you. Now listen, church, when I left, I gave her a hug and I said, you are going to make an awesome Christian. But what's our reaction, church? Are we willing to let it happen? Are we willing to allow God to change us when we get into His presence, when we get into the holiness of God? You see, the reason we want to run is because of the holiness. And God wants His church to be holy. I pray for this young lady all the time. I want her to meet Jesus, not just to know about Jesus. I want her to experience the fact that you're never too far away from Jesus. I want her to be caught, and I want her soul to be saved, and then I want her to become a fisher of men and women's souls. It's my prayer today for you, Mount Zion Christian Church, that if God begins to work in your life, one more thing I told my son when I left there, I said, I'm really thinking about forgetting about Wednesday night service and taking the church to the bar. Just kidding. But you know what? I was born to win souls. Church, we're born to win souls. Jesus saved us so that we can help others meet Him. But are you willing to let it happen? Are you willing to take a chance and tell somebody about your Savior? Are you willing to draw so close to Him that He changes you from the inside out? Father, we come to You today in the precious name of Jesus, and I ask that the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, would not push us away, but would draw us to Your side. And Lord, if You have to change us, so be it. I want us to let it happen. And Lord, if we're kicking against the goads, if we're trying to back up when You have us lined up in the chute to get into the trailer that's going to take us to heaven, Lord, help us today to stop fighting and to let it happen. Let us embrace what You did for us at the cross. Let us freely accept Your forgiveness today, Lord, and let us allow You to change us from the inside out so that the people we hang around with go, I don't know what happened to you, but you're changing. Father, take Your word that we've spoken today and allow it to work in each and every one of us. Let it do or let it accomplish what You've sent it to do in us today. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you need prayer, we would love to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go in peace to love and serve our God and let it happen in your life. Amen.